Hello and good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are tuning in from. Thank you so much for joining our webinar here today. It is titled The Due Diligence Edge: How Pros Evaluate Multifamily Real Estate Deals. A quick disclaimer, as always, the Intrust Group or Intrust does not provide any investment advice, nor do we promote any or endorse any products. All information provided and materials are for educational purposes only. All parties are always encouraged to consult with their attorney, accountants, financial advisor, before entering into any type of investment. On today's agenda, we have Shining Rock Equity. Thank you for joining us. We'll be going over market context, examining opportunity risk, the market selection and best practices, examining underwriting assumptions, and the closing framework and case study, along with our Q&A. So it seems like a very good informational segment that we have here for you today. A little bit about me. Again, my name is Rachel Stolrow. I've been with the Intrust Group for actually over 10 years now, so quite some time. And I have a huge passion for helping companies and clients really get educated on IRA funds and putting those into alternative investments. About Intrust. So we are self-directed IRA administrators. We host monthly educational webinars, very much like this one. And we have a very knowledgeable staff with CISP certification. We have over $6 billion in assets under administration, 24,000 active investors, 45 years in service. So honestly, we've been doing this for so long. We've been educating investors, as you can see, for a very long time. And we were the first to market self-directed custodian. And you have a single point of contact when you work with us. And that's probably my favorite part, getting to know clients and companies, because it really just provides them with a good and seamless experience. All right, so without further ado, I will hand it over to Shining Rock Equity. Clay and Rob, thank you so much for being on here today.
Thank you, Rachel. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Rob Stanley, Managing Partner at Shining Rock Equity, based here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Joining me today is my son and business partner, Clay Stanley. I do want to thank Rachel and Andrew and the team at Intrust for inviting us to be here today. Our goal today is to give you a clear picture of how multifamily deals are being underwritten in today's market. So even if you never underwrite a deal yourself, understanding a few of the key concepts can help you evaluate opportunities more confidently and hopefully avoid costly mistakes. A lot has changed in the multifamily space over the past few years. Interest rates are higher, rent growth has slowed, operating expenses have increased, and new supply has become a much bigger factor than it was just a few years ago. So we'll walk through what we're seeing in the market now. How we evaluate opportunities before we decide whether we are going to pursue them. Feel free to submit questions throughout the presentation, and we'll save time at the end for some Q&A. With that, I'll tell you a little bit about Shining Rock before I turn things over to Clay. I've been involved in real estate for 30 years, much of that time working with institutional investors in acquisitions and portfolio management. A few years ago, Clay and I formed Shining Rock Equity to facilitate making our own investments. Soon, friends and colleagues were investing alongside of us, and that's really how we got our start. To date, we've invested in seven multifamily communities representing more than 1,200 apartment units, along with one private credit fund. Nearly 60 investors have invested alongside of us. And one of the things we're super proud of is that many of those have come back for a second, third, and a few fourth-time investments. My role includes overseeing day-to-day operations, compliance, building relationships with investors. Before I turn things over to Clay, I'll mention two other members on our team. My sister-in-law, Kim Solomon, top residential agent here in Chapel Hill. She's an incredible connector of people, and as such, she leads our investor relations. And then my wife, Sarah, Kim's twin sister, owns S Squared Design and oversees our branding and marketing. So as you can see, we really are a family business. And with that, I'll turn it over to Clay.
Yes, thank you, Dad. I will provide some brief background on myself. I've been a partner at Shining Rock Equity since inception 4 years ago. And at a high level, we're focused on providing real estate opportunities to our network that meet our criteria from a risk and return perspective and cater to the various investor appetites among our investor network. So this varies from people focused on income and cash flow to people mainly focused on appreciation. We are not operators, and we more so get involved in these deals as a capital partner. We receive consistent deal flow from current and prospective operating partners as they need their deals funded. We then go through our various and extensive due diligence process, not only on the deal, but also on the operating partner. And then if we, get to a point where we're comfortable with the opportunity, we will go negotiate better terms for ourselves and our investors when we provide any given investment to our network. And so that's generally how we're getting involved in deals. And then in addition to Shining Rock Equity, I handle land acquisition for a firm where we do infill residential development in and around Charlotte. I've been doing that for 6 years as well. With that, we can get into the presentation today. And I think to start off here, it would be helpful to, before we look at the data, to just have a high-level narrative about what's taken place the last 5 or so years and why that might lead us to an opportunity today. And to start off here, we'll go back even a little bit further, and we can sort of look at the 2015 to 2019 multifamily market as one that was relatively normal. Rent growth was increasing year over year, but not at record rates. It was generally pretty reasonable. Demand and supply were within reason of one another, and everything felt a little bit more normal than maybe it has for the last 5 years. And then we have COVID. So 2020 hits, we have COVID and a very quick recession, and interest rates are dropped to zero. So this does a couple of things. Debt gets extremely cheap, so prices start to rise just based on that alone. And then you have rent growth that is essentially off the charts for many markets, especially in the Sun Belt. So many multifamily investors saw this and were investing and piling in, so to speak. And so that was causing prices to continue to rise. But also multifamily developers saw this. They saw the same thing that everybody else saw, and they started to build a ton of new supply, especially throughout the Sun Belt. Now, these projects take a couple of years to put shovels in the ground and then actually build. And so all of those projects that got started in 21, 22, 23 were delivered in 24, 25, and leading into 26. And it was really the most supply that the nation has seen since the 1970s. So a huge amount of supply coming online in that 23 to today, that period there. In addition to that, there was something else happening. So interest rates increased in late 22 and continued to increase into 23. We're still feeling those effects today. They have not come down. That caused pricing to largely reset in the multifamily market. In addition to that, you had construction costs that had been increasing. And so developers, not able to get projects off the ground, sort of stopped putting new shovels in the ground, stopped starting new apartments in the late 23, 24, 25 period. And that continues into today as well. So we are still feeling the supply overhang of all the new apartments that came online. But looking into the future and the setup for today's conversation is we're potentially going to be able to benefit as apartment investors. We might be able to benefit from an environment of lower supply. If demand can hold steady, we might see net operating incomes. We might see rental rates start to increase again here in the near future. Next slide, please. So at this point, we can get into some data and visually look at what has happened over the last few years and why we think that the next couple of years could be the starting point of another growth cycle for net operating incomes in multifamily, and specifically the Sun Belt. And so looking here, you can see that 2015 to 2019 period, relatively normal supply and demand. The green lines there are starts. And so you can see as 22 comes along, 23 comes along, huge amount of starts coming online. And those were all delivered a couple years later. Demand faltered in 23, but as you can see in 24 and 25 with the black lines there, demand has been really strong throughout 2025. Obviously, this chart is just slightly outdated, but demand has remained strong. We'll look at another chart later in the presentation where we see through the first half of 2026, demand is still cranking right along. And some of this could be considered incentivized demand because there's so much new supply and there's so many concessions being offered that there's lots of new households being formed. But still, by all measures, strong demand numbers here. We can move along to the next slide. This is just a graph that sort of shows, again, that incredible rent growth that we saw in 21 and 22, and that caused some of these new deliveries to start being built, has now faltered and even declined nationally. And we'll see the difference between various markets and where it's declined, where it's continued to rise. And we can really see that here and see the dichotomy between low supply markets and high supply markets. There's a common theme on between all of these markets that are the rent growth leaders through second quarter of 2026. And the common theme is these are all cities or cities and states that are hard to build in. It's really hard for apartment developers to build in these cities. You can see that the annual inventory growth as a percentage of existing stock is all 1% or less. These markets are still chugging right along from a rent growth perspective. And you even have San Francisco coming back with a vengeance after it saw a really tough COVID period and even a few years thereafter. The common theme is that these are all very low supply markets. And then we get into the concession environment, and this plays right into where we think there might be an opportunity today. So concessions, just for those of you who might not know, are when an apartment owner says, "Hey, the rental amount is $1,500 for this unit, but listen, we understand the market. We'll give you 1 month free or 2 months free," or something of that nature to incentivize people to move in to their apartment complex. As you can see from 23 on, concessions have been steadily increasing and seem to have crested just recently, but a huge amount of concessions going on. And the average concession amount has been increasing. But what that potentially provides is an opportunity for us to purchase today and burn off those concessions. And we'll get into more detail there later in the presentation. Or we'll get into it now. So the concessions here are affecting the rental amounts by, let's say, 10 to 20%. And so because pricing has reset in multifamily, you can buy at a higher cap rate than you could certainly a few years ago, and potentially buy a compressed net operating income stream. So if you can buy today and your plan is to burn off those concessions as the market recovers over the next couple of years, then you could see 10 to 20% rental growth or revenue growth within your property by just burning off those concessions. It doesn't necessarily take the market rent growth increasing 2, 3, 4, 5%. Market rent growth can stay flat. But if you can go in and burn off those concessions, you can see the revenue rates increase and hopefully increase your net operating income, therefore increasing the value of the property. Of course, the risk with all of this is that you buy a property planning to do that and concessions don't burn off or rent declines continue. And so, as my dad will discuss later in the presentation, location becomes extremely important. Location and product all become extremely important. This is not 10 years ago when you could buy a complex, run it for a couple of years, and sell it for a nice profit. The operations here need to be extremely tight. You have to understand the supply not only within a given city, but you have to understand the supply within the given submarkets of that city to really take advantage of this opportunity and see that revenue increase. This is just an indicator. There's an order of operations that happen with apartment buildings when you're trying to determine if you're going to see market rent growth over any given hold period. And the first thing that needs to happen before you see market rent growth is you need vacancy to start declining. Ever since really 22, we've seen vacancy rates continue to rise year over year in the multifamily space. Now, just recently, you can see that the last 4 months have posted vacancy declines. Now, this could be the impetus for, say an apartment owner gets to 95% vacancy. They start to feel like they have a little bit more pricing power in the market. They might not want to raise rents, but maybe they can start burning off those concessions. And after they burn off those concessions and they're still at 95% vacancy, they say, okay, now we can raise rents by 1% or 2%, and so on and so forth. But the first thing that needs to happen is vacancy to decrease. And that's what we've been seeing over the last 4 months. 4 months starts to be a trend. We'll see if that continues throughout the year. And this is just a graph sort of displaying the supply picture. National, excuse me, nationally, you can see that the supply spiked in 24, was extremely high in 25. And finally in 26, it gets back to a more reasonable level. But there's still a ton of new supply that's yet to be absorbed from 24 and 25. And so you're still seeing a soft rental market. But as the supply continues to drop off, that's when you could potentially see vacancy continue to decline and then eventually concessions burn off and then hopefully some market rent growth. Again, just another clean example of seeing that Q1 2026 supply continue to drop off pretty massively from the peak and to be more in line with what you might consider normal. And then supply is one piece of the equation, but demand is a separate piece, and demand is unfortunately much harder to predict. You can look at supply by looking at new construction starts and permits pulled and come up with a reasonable expectation of where that supply might end up in a few years. What is more difficult is the demand picture. Fortunately, we have seen demand be pretty incredible in 2025. Again, some of that could be incentivized demand by all the concessions being offered, but by all accounts, still very strong demand that's continued through the first half of 2026 and has actually surpassed many people's expectations for year to date. So that's pleasing to see. Obviously, if a recession hits, then we could see these numbers dwindle. And again, it's a little bit harder to predict, but as of right now, the demand picture is still holding strong.
All right. Thank you, Clay. So as Clay mentioned, how important market selection is, that process has really changed quite a bit over the last few years. That's especially true in the Sun Belt. Some areas are still working through a significant amount of new supply. So one of the metrics we watch closely when we're evaluating a market is new supply as a percentage of the existing inventory. Generally, we like to see that around 2 to 3% or less. When we look at a particular property, we look at the 1 mile radius, which tells us, who that property competes with directly. And then we look at the 3 mile radius, and that gives us a broader picture of market and absorption. So if you're considering investing in a multifamily deal, be sure to ask that operator what the new supply pipeline looks like within those 1 and 3 mile radiuses. Because the answer to that question can tell you a lot about the risk and the opportunities of that deal. So once we're comfortable with a submarket, the next step is making sure the underwriting assumptions are realistic. And this is where Clay spends a lot of his time, looking at the operator's underwriting model for deals that we're considering. There are a few things that we focus on. First, we're really cautious when we see aggressive market rent growth assumptions layered on top of renovation premiums. In today's environment, that's asking a lot. Second, we take a hard look at the rent growth assumptions themselves. If a market has flattened or slowed, we don't want to see projections that assume suddenly it's going to take off again. We're also paying close attention to those concessions that Clay mentioned. Some underwriting assumes that the burn off pretty quickly, but that's not always how it ends up playing out. Then there's renewal risk. If new tenants are getting attractive concessions, some existing tenants may decide to move instead of renew their lease. That creates extra turnover costs that needs to be accounted for in the underwriting. So at the end of the day, the question is pretty simple. Is the underwritten rent growth coming from the market, or are we counting on management to create it? And that leads us to one of the biggest concepts we evaluate, and that's loss to lease versus gain to lease. Loss to lease represents real upside. It's the difference between what residents are currently paying and what comparable units are renting for today. Gain to lease is the opposite. It means residents are already paying above today's market rents. The important question isn't how much loss to lease exists, it's whether it's actually there or not. If you can clearly see the upside exists by examining a property's rent roll, it's much more predictable. If it's only based on projections or assumptions, there's considerably more execution risk associated with that. Again, the question we ask, how much rent growth potential already exists and how much has to be created? And once we've worked through those items, we ask ourselves a few key questions. Have we selected the right submarket? Are rent growth assumptions realistic? Are concessions being modeled correctly? Are expense assumptions conservative? And then one final question, what has to go right for this investment to work? If the answer is quite a bit, we usually move on from that deal. There's still a lot of excellent investment opportunities in the market today, but discipline really matters. And we're being extremely selective as we evaluate deals today. And we can put that into context with a real example. This is Preserve at Copperleaf in Houston. We closed on this investment in 2024. And since then, we've already completed a cash-out refi that returned about 40% of investor capital, original capital, while maintaining the same ownership percentage. We've also increased distributions to well over what the underwriting projections were at the time of the purchase. So it's a good example of what disciplined underwriting can produce when the business plan is realistic. So what exactly attracted us to this deal? First, we loved the location. After analyzing the submarket, we saw limited new supply coming online. Second, the execution risk was relatively low. We weren't relying on heavy renovations or hoping to push rents by several hundred dollars per unit. We also had an operating partner that we knew well and trusted. We had confidence in both their experience and their conservative approach. The projected returns made sense without stretching the assumptions, and also the anticipated hold time was pretty reasonable. Another attractive feature of their plan was enrolling the property in Houston's tax abatement program. And back in 24, the strategy was considered very achievable. I want to point out that the tax abatement environment has changed quite a bit in many markets. So if you see a business plan that relies heavily on receiving a tax abatement, I'd encourage you to make sure there's a solid plan B, in case that property is not approved for a tax abatement. Ultimately, we're looking for investments where the path to success is clear and doesn't require everything to go exactly as planned. Fortunately, Copperleaf has exceeded projections, and we feel really good about the likelihood of a very profitable exit here in a few years. With that, I'll wrap up with a final thought. There, again, as I said, there's still excellent opportunities in today's market, But that discipline, that underwriting discipline, really matters more than anything else. At Shining Rock, we're focused on downside protection, partnering with experienced operators, and investing in opportunities where the assumptions are realistic. Again, thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to sign up for our deal announcements and twice monthly newsletter, you can do so by going to our website at shiningrockequity.com, where you'll see a sign up button. We also have a due diligence checklist, which you can download by scanning the QR code here. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Rachel.
Also, real quick, we've launched a poll if you would additionally or alternatively like to let us know if you want more information from Rob and Clay. Just please let us know in the poll here. We'll leave it up while Rachel pushes on for the outro. Thank you, everyone.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rob, Clay, and Andrew. All righty. So, wrapping up here. It's a very quick and easy, if some of you all aren't familiar with investing with an IRA, it's an easy three steps. I may be biased because I help people do this every single day, but it's really as easy as establishing an IRA, funding your account, and then directing us on where to put those funds. So again, it's a three-step process, and we're really here to help you along the way. What's next? As I mentioned in the beginning, we are huge on education. We love educating clients. One way that you can be in on our next webinar is number one, look at the video replay, and then also I think you will be sent a link. Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, so that you can register for August webinar, and that will be how to build an investing strategy that fits your priorities. If you want any more information on self-directed retirement plans, our website has an amazing learning center thanks to our marketing team that has webinars, free documents, PDFs that you may want to download to really help educate yourself. And then you can always set an appointment with our sales team as well, so we can get to know you a little bit more, answer any questions that you may have in particular. All righty, so moving on to our Q&A, please drop your questions in the chat. We can answer any and every question that you have for Shining Rock or the Intrust Group. And the first one, Rob, Clay, it looks like this is for you. Are you seeing apartment complexes or multifamily facilities going into default or bankruptcy?
Yes, the answer to that is yes. There have been some high-profile defaults, even just in the last couple of weeks. We're starting to see more true distress situations. Now, I would say it's limited. There's still a fair amount of what's called extend and pretend going on, where lenders are continuing to extend loans out, but slowly but surely that water is starting to break through the dam, and we hope to be able to take advantage of some of those distressed situations. Of course, hate that people are losing money, but now that we're here, we hope to be able to take advantage of that.
Awesome. Thank you. Next question. What are your fees, et cetera, on this project? And if it needs to go in depth, please know again, we did have Rob and Clay's contact information. We can throw that up again if you'd like, so that you can reach out a little bit and to get a little bit more
Sure.
information on that.
So I'll keep it. I don't remember the exact structure we had on that deal. So I'll just say what we, a general structure of what we usually use. And to start off with fees, we have a 1 to 2% acquisition fee. And depending on sort of the deal profile and what we think is reasonable. And then from there, generally speaking, we have a 7 to 8% preferred return. This preferred return is upon sale is paid, any shortfall is paid first, and then a full return of capital is due to the limited partner investors before we engage in a profit split of 80-20, 70-30, something of that nature.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. All righty. Any other questions from people in the chat? I did see that somebody was having a hard time with the QR code. So I would just make sure I don't, know if that's working or if maybe we can provide that to them, along with the replay. Either way,
Yes,
I'm
I did
excited to
test
take
it
that
out
one.
before the presentation, so hopefully it'll will work. But if you'll let me know who that individual is, I'll be glad to send a copy of it or send it to you and let them and you can send it to them.
So, Rob, I
Okay,
think if you
absolutely.
flip back to that slide real quick, I think they just said it. We flipped a right as they were trying to scan it.
Okay,
So
gotcha.
I
Oh,
think, yeah, if we
perfect.
just leave it up as you guys wrap up, this is great.
All
Okay, cool.
right, that's awesome. Thanks, Andrew, for that suggestion.
But yeah, if anyone has any more questions, happy to chat here on the call. If you'd like to set up a call and speak individually with us, then we'd of course be happy to do that as well.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All righty. Well, I don't see any more questions here in the chat. Thank you for putting up the QR code again. And again, there is Robert and Clay's contact information. So any of those in-depth questions that you want answered, you're welcome to reach out to them. Thank you, Rob, Clay, for an amazing webinar and joining us here today. And thank you all for joining.
Thank you,
Thank
Rachel.
you all.
All
Take
right, of
care.
course.
Thanks,
Take care.
everybody. All right, have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.